Father, we thank you for this time. Father, we thank you, God, for sending your son, Jesus Christ, as a baby, God, to be born human, Lord, and divine, to live a sinless life, God, and to die a death on a cross for us, Father. Help us never to take that gift for granted, not even one moment of one single day, but for Father, to lay down our life every single day and say, our life is not our own, it is yours, Father. Do with it what you will. Bend my will and break it until only yours remains, Father. Give us the courage and the strength to live like that. We love you and we praise you in your name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Glad you're with us today. We say it every week and we mean it. Especially if you're our guest today, you need to understand you're not here by mistake. You are here by design. But not just our guest. No matter why you think you're here, God has probably a totally different reason for you being here. But also for those of us who come every week, no matter what, we need to come every week with expectancy to hear from God, to see with, be with God's people, to have a corporate expression of our worship, which is the overflow of our personal expression of worship. It's always amazing to me, quite frankly, when you don't worship all week and yet you come, and then we have this outpouring of worship. Now, in some ways, that's okay. But let me tell you, I think we need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if you haven't worshipped all week, but you come and you get that warm, emotional fuzzy, I don't really believe, I'm going to get in trouble here, but I don't really believe that's always the Spirit of God. That's nothing more than your emotion. Now, that's a downer, isn't it? But the point is, the positive of that is that we need to worship tomorrow morning, every morning. We need to come and see the great I Am, the Creator of the universe. As Mike has already said, the Creator of the universe wants to be intimately involved in your life every day. Every day. So that when we come to worship, the band, as you've heard me say, cannot create worship. We can only create the environment of worship. And the worship of our heart needs to be the overflow of all week of us worshiping together. Of all week of us worshiping, man, in our times with God and our seeing Him do the wondrous things in our life. And we come and this is the outpouring of that time. So we're glad you're with us. And I hope it's more. I hope it challenges you to worship throughout the week. There's so many ways you can worship throughout the week and that you come and you're filled to overflowing when we come in a corporate way. Now there's sometimes we come in on a Sunday morning and we've been in that desert. And that's when, boy, it's just filling to be with God's people and filling and refreshing to worship together. Because sometimes that valley, sometimes that desert. But, boy, God wants us to worship every day. His mercies are new every day. His grace is felt every day. His love for us is every day. Nothing every day will separate us from the love of God. And that's what we need to remember. One announcement before we go into Advent here is our third Sunday servants, we've committed to our Tracy campus. That on third Sundays, I want to take people over and that we help set up and we help do the nursery for them and give their people just a break, a rest. It's our way of ministering in Tracy. So if you'd like to this next week be a part of our third Sunday servants, see Pastor Mike right after the service back there or myself and say, hey, I'd like to go. We're there at 7 o'clock. We help set up and then we have some who work in the nursery. But you need to do this. This is the way you can serve. We talk about serving. You say, wow, yeah, it's an awesome opportunity. We stay through the morning. Hear Pastor Ben and their service as well, but third Sunday service. So if you're interested, we only need four or five people, really all we need. But if you're interested in that, see Pastor Mike or myself. Those who went last time, they stayed right in the service, and some got pulled right up on front to lead worship and help with worship. That would be Gene Cash. Right there, he volunteered to go. He didn't know he was going to volunteer to come up and lead worship, but that's a great thing. We've been offering him out a long time, so that's a good thing as well. So just see Pastor Mike or myself. We talk about Advent. What is Advent? What does it mean? And Advent means to prepare for the coming, the arrival. And especially the Advent wreath the times that we spent of Advent, whether you came from a liturgical background where you did Advent every year, you would understand this. If you came from a background such as mine, I never heard of Advent, never talked of Advent, never was. It was, I don't know why. We just didn't do it until I got older. And in our family, we started doing Advent. It's the coming and preparation for the Christ child. But today's Advent, not only is it in coming the preparation that we worship Christ of Christmas, but it's also a reflection of the fact that just as the promise that He studied in the Old Testament, He would come, that He would be Emmanuel, incarnate God with us, the real promise that He will come again. And so today we look back at the Advent of His promise that He was coming, but the promise of His coming that He appeared and the God with us, that Emmanuel, God with us, is the foundation for the promise of His second coming. The second Advent, that He will come again. So last week, we lit the candle, and that was a candle. Anybody remember? Joy. We lit the candle of joy. And today the candle we light is the candle of peace. Now, there's different Advent studies. There's nothing sacred about the order that would you take Advent. They have different candle of light, joy, hope, peace, promise. There's different candles, but they all relate to the issue of what the Christ child brought us. The issue of the candle of peace, the candle of joy. And that the issue of joy is that we can have joy in every situation, even those that are not good. Life isn't always easy. Life isn't always good. Bad things happen. Hurt, we suffer loss, we experience loss. Life isn't always good, but even through the foundation of that, we have the foundation of joy. Now, this week, I don't know how many people send Christmas cards out anymore. Many do not send Christmas cards out. But I thought again, because you look at the Christmas card, you get much of the Advent feeling through Christmas. Cards, just the cards you get. And many of the cards you say, peace on earth. Peace on earth. They grant you peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. Now I'm going to put the media people through their paces this morning, because I'm going to let the word speak for itself in the most part this morning. And so they've got a lot going on back there. But Isaiah 9, verses 6 to 7, for unto us a child is born. Now remember, this is before the birth. This is a prophetic utterance here, okay? To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now we know that prophetic utterance was fulfilled when Jesus appeared, when he was born as a child. But he says he's the Prince of Peace. As we come to this candle about peace, you look around and you say, really? Is that a promise that what really could never be fulfilled? Man searches for peace. We have people searching today for peace. It always is somewhat I don't want to say laughable to me, but it's ironic and sad that many times people demonstrate for peace, and they demonstrate with violence. Have you noticed that? We want peace. We want peace. Wham! You know, hit somebody with their peace sign. You know. They attempt to define peace. If I asked you what peace is, and if I asked different people what peace is, as I've done, I realize that many times we define peace. Now stay with me here for a minute, because I know this is not the typical warm Christmas card message on peace initially, but hang on here. Many define peace most often from a negative perspective. They see peace as the absence of turmoil. They see peace as the absence of war. They see peace as the absence of conflict. You might say, if I could just be at peace and the absence of problems in my life. So, in essence, we believe that peace can only be found, if you're with me here, through the absence of things. If this didn't happen, I'd be at peace. If this didn't happen, I'd be at peace. It's through the absence of those issues that we would then find peace. But there could be no peace then, right? If it's true that we only find peace in the absence of those issues, then would it also be true that you could never find peace in the midst of those issues. Are you with me? Thank you for all four of you. The rest of you, continue your nap now. So we talk about peace and we try to define it from a negative perspective. I don't want to lose you here. But we say, even today, man, I'd be at peace if. And I wonder how you would fill that out. How you would finish that sentence. If I did this. We look at prosperity if I had more money. We look at all these things. We look at peace. If I had this, I'd be at peace. Or if I didn't have this. They don't see peace, nor do they describe peace in these terms. Wisdom. Trust, forgiveness, sharing, loving, serving, and especially not suffering. We don't describe peace in those terms. And yet we need to understand that the kingdom that Christ child was bringing, let me call it the Jesus society or the Jesus culture that he brought for us to be able to have, he defines peace through those words that I just gave you, through those issues. it wasn't the absence of, it was the addition to. See, when we come to know Christ, when we understand that He is the Prince of Peace, that He wants to have a relation with us, He is thinking that we are called to think differently today. You are called to think differently, not the same way the world does, not the same way that we would do without Christ. We are called to be different. So when He says that I have come that you might, in some sense, have peace, we've guessed that's a promise that could never be fulfilled, because I look around, the world is not at peace. Very few people, even many of you, are not at peace. So what does it mean? Let's begin just, and again, we'll let the word speak for itself here. But first, it begins with peace with God. To have peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified, declared righteous through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To have peace with God, that make peace. You hear people say, well, you hear it a lot of times when people are facing the end of their life. You better make peace with God. Peace with God. How do you do that? Does I need to hold a sign and say, I just made peace with God? Does it mean that I'm going to treat you with love? Well, that could be part of a byproduct. What does peace with God mean, and how do we get it? Peace with God means that the gap that has separated us because of sin in our life, because of the sin that we were born in, not just acts of sin, but the faithlessness of sin, missing that mark, that we could never be perfect. We could never put that on. The peace with God is made when we understand, because it gives us in that verse, that we come to know peace with God through Christ alone. I will tell you, you've heard me share many times, here's what as a pastor scares me at times. Because I know that there are some in our services, I know this, who do not say through Christ alone. And it sounds really good, but some have said, oh, well, it's through my grandma, because my grandma knew Christ. Or it's through my good works, because I was okay. I'm pretty good. I mean, I look at myself, and compared to Ramon, I'm a star. Right? I love Ramon. You guys don't tease me. But we look and say, if I compare myself to somebody else, that compares, I'm better than he or she is, so therefore. But if you're going to have peace with God, that true peace with God, it doesn't come through comparing yourself to somebody else, or because it's handed down from generation to generation, or because you've always been in this church or that church, or you grew up this way. You have to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to obtain the peace with God. God sent His Son. Why did that babe come? It wasn't so that we could have warm, emotional, fuzzy Christmas cards, folks. It says He came that He would die for you and for me. That babe was born destined to die, to pay the penalty for our sin. We've been declared righteous, justified, not by grandma, not by this church, not by being loving or giving more money, though that would be a good start. That's a joke again, okay? Maybe not. No. But the issue is that you have peace with God, and people come to my office or they'll be in this church and they'll say, I just can't, man, I don't have peace. And yet when I come, how do you want to get that? They think it's through everything else. And some people put up this barrier. Well, I just don't like the fact that it's through Christ alone. I don't think that's too exclusive. We need to say it's through many ways to get to God. But John 14 says that's not possible. There's only one way, the truth and the life. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come with that. And my fear is that someday, though it's just in my head, because God is much more gracious than I am, I'm sure. But the reality is that someday, when Christ returns, or when you stand before God, you're going to say, what have you done with my son? But I didn't, well, I went to church, we sang, we had warm, fuzzy worship, and we did all these things. He said, okay, great. What did you do with Jesus? Was it through Christ alone, or was it through something else? I would be remiss if we preached any other gospel, he says. That's what Paul tells Timothy. You preach any other gospel than this, you're wasting your time, and you're lying to the people. And so today, people say, well, when did you give your life to Christ? I realize some say, well, I can't find an exact time. I don't know the exact date. I don't know the exact year. I don't know when, but I know Christ. Okay, there may not be that exact time in your life, but please look at your life and say, there had to have been an understanding that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. There has to be. Make sure of it. I'm not trying to cause doubt today. I hate that. I don't want to be the preacher that causes you doubt, but I want to cause assurance in your life that you know the Lord Jesus through Him and Him alone. Through Christ alone. Okay, so, you know, we'll use our most favorite verse to just give that point, John 3. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. It is through the ministry of the Lord Jesus, that babe, that Christ child who came, that we might have life. Do you want peace with God today? If you want to make your eternal destiny, peace with God deals with your destiny of eternity. That's what peace with God deals with. Do you know for sure? I grew up with this question, and many people don't like this question now because they say, well, that's a negative question. But the question is real. If you died today, if the hour of your life was now, and you were ending, do you know that you'd be in eternity with the Lord Jesus? Do you know that? And if you do not know that, you need to come to that understanding to give your life to Him at this moment. Now, that's peace with God. I make my peace with God. But it goes beyond that. And this is the blessing of peace with God, because He then tells us that we can have the peace of God. And they're definitely different within this. Listen to a couple of verses. John 14, chapter 14, verse 27. He says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Philippians 4, man, these verses are tough because they're just so stinking simple. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. You know what that means? There ain't nobody of the world going to understand that peace. Only those who have peace with God will understand the peace of God, because it doesn't make any human understanding. That peace will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, no matter what assails you. You cannot, listen folks, some people want to try to have the peace of God. You will never have the peace of God if you have not made peace with God. If you've not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, then you'll never have the peace of God in your life. It's just impossible. You must have a relationship with Him, and He places His Spirit within you. He says, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm giving you a comforter to stay with you. I'm going to give you that peace of God. It's impossible to have the peace of God if you don't have peace with God. Now, that's where most of our sermons on peace stop, right about there. Let's go have Merry Christmas. Peace with God, peace of God. He's the Prince of Peace. But I think there's some other things we need to understand about peace that He gives us. One, and I think sometimes we need to really wrestle with this, that the peace with God allows us to have the peace of God. And when you have the peace of God in your life, you will then find yourself peace with yourself. Now listen carefully, because some of you will take this and run the gamut of wrong thinking, and there are those who talk about this with a wrong theology. But being at peace with yourself, Romans 8, verse 1 and verse 6, listen. Therefore, there is now, read this with me, this is the best verse in the Bible, one of them. There's not the best, okay, it's one of them. Therefore, read it, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. You can have peace with God. You've given your life to Christ. You attempt to know the peace of God. But the problem is you never have peace with yourself. Because we let the shame around us bind us. Verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh, that old mind, that old nature, is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. When you come to know Christ, He says all things are passed away. All the old is gone, the new has come. But we have to change the way we think. We need to renew our mind by that water of the Word washing through it to renew our mind. You have the potential then to know the mind of Christ when we're in Christ and we learn what Christ says about you. When you've made peace with God, we have the peace of God. But He brings that so that we have peace with ourselves, that I can get off the spiritual treadmill and understand. And my past, do you remember when we did our favorite things, how many people got up here and said, I didn't know that God could love me. I didn't understand that He could love me. I didn't understand He wanted to be my friend. I didn't understand that because of my past. And so many people today They are bound by the shame of their past. And God says, peace with God. The peace of God will release you from the shame of your past and give you the peace with yourself. That's not through yourself. It's only through the peace of God. But that we have peace with ourselves. Man, the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Amen, soul, mind. Love your neighbor. What's next? As yourself. You don't have a proper view of yourself the way God views you as being in Christ. If you don't see the value that God places of you being in Christ, you will never place that value on somebody that you see if you don't see yourself as in Christ. And what a hypocrite to say, oh, God loves you, He cares for you. Man, you can have that relationship. He forgives you completely, and yet you live under the heel and the shame that binds you. You'll never get out from under it. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. There is therefore now no condemnation. And you're forgiven by God. Give up the shame. Give up control. Some people wrestle with control. Yeah, you want that peace of God, but you won't just step back and say, God, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to let you be in control. Some of you need to give up perfection. You know, you'd be the first to say, oh, well, we're not perfect. But boy, do you measure yourself. And do you measure yourself? Everything has to be perfect. You've got to have that nice little image. You've got to look good. You've got to, you know, have this image about, man, everybody loves me. We give up but peace with yourself. It's funny how God, not funny, it's the wonder of God, not funny. But this week I had a conversation with a person. And I can't describe the situation because then you'd know the person. But I had a conversation with a person in a most unique situation. And that all that I could respond to this person, after this person had been told that God couldn't love her because, all I could do, is to say three words. You are worthy. In herself, no. God says, I value you. Child of God, you're worthy. Being in Christ, He says, I've declared you righteous. I've declared you. God looks over the windows of heaven. God knows our heart, but He looks through the blood of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus says, I stand on their behalf. I stand in their defense. Peace with yourself. Quickly, let me go on, because not only do we need to have peace with others, but we need to have peace with others. Now, if you're not at peace with yourself, you'll never have peace with others. Now, Romans 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Some people think that verse is so difficult. It's really not. It's really simple, isn't it? If it's possible, if it depends upon you, live at peace. He's not talking about the other's response, is he? This verse isn't difficult. We may not like it. Some of you don't like it because you don't want to have to respond with that eternal truth that love never fails. You don't want to back up and say, okay, I'm not going to be selfish. And this may be the most difficult because what that verse does is it makes it depend upon us. Don't focus on somebody else. Live and respond as Jesus calls us to, no matter what, as much as possible, no matter what, love never fails. Do you value relationships that you have? Do you seek those restoration in relationships? Perhaps today, if you have relationships that are just tense and there's no peace in them, it doesn't depend at all upon the other person. It depends upon you. Stop speaking hate. Stop speaking in anger about that person. But let me go one step further for some of you, because some of you are master manipulators. You won't just speak the word hate or speak in anger, but you'll speak enough to allow the other person to make assumptions of that, and you won't correct it. And you'll let people assume things about another person, and you'll speak those assumptions which are negative instead of making people think the positive, and you'll let it go. Well, I didn't say anything. No, but you allowed a perception or an assumption to persist. Stop it. Love never fails. Respond in love. What if the cost of following Jesus was higher. What if the cost of following Jesus? I mean, we could easily say, oh, I'll follow, we'll follow. I wonder. We paid no price today, really, to be here to worship. We paid no price of any real significance when we leave. We're not under fear. But when it comes to peace with others, you also must understand, if I'm going to be true to the word, because Luke, you can go and we don't have time to develop it, but Luke chapter 12 and different verses, it looks like it's contradictory because Jesus says, you thought I came to bring peace? I did not. Well, Bill, you just said we have peace with God. He's talking about in this world, you're never going to find peace. You're never going to find peace. We need to have a peace perspective that it allows us. Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 and 7. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against nation. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. John 16, 33. Have I told you these things so that in me you may have peace? In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Now he's talking about, listen, remember we started this saying that if you believe that peace is the absence of something, you can never have peace in the middle of something. And this verse says, no, in the middle of trouble, you can have God's peace because it's internal here. But the world around you is not going to have peace. He goes on, John 18, 36. He says, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. That kingdom, peace with God in that kingdom. But in this kingdom, in this culture, to expect ultimate peace in this world is going against the very words of Christ. We seek our own way. We're pulled away by our own power and selfish greed. Peace in this kingdom is not going to exist. Not in this kingdom, not in this culture, but in this kingdom. And in the future coming, we can have peace. Peace comes from within. Knowing Christ, peace with Christ, peace of Christ, peace with yourself, peace with others, is knowing it comes from within a relationship with Christ. But listen, Luke chapter 12, we'll even go and tell you, you can go back and read it, it's kind of troubling if you don't understand the context. He says, you thought I came to bring you peace? I didn't come to bring peace, not in the world. Peace is only found in me. But you need to understand something. We don't have a high cost of following Jesus today. We're weak. But Jesus said in the last days, even after he came, in his ministry, he looks at his disciples and he says, you're not going to find peace there because guess what? Mother is going to be against son, brother against brother. He lists the relationships that when you give your life to Christ, if you're going to stand for Christ, there will be those. But as much as it depends upon you, you live at peace. But is following Christ more important to you than anything? If the cost were higher, would we still follow? If the cost meant that mom's not going to be welcoming me over for Thanksgiving or Christmas because I believe in Jesus, would you follow? If we didn't have the freedom to worship as we do, would you follow? If the cost were higher, because Jesus is saying, listen, if you're looking for peace from without, you're never going to find it. You better pucker up, buttercup, because the reality is if you want to live for Christ, the world's going to be against you. And that world may even be inside your own family. And the perspective of peace that we need is that peace with God and the peace of God is more important than anything else. But we need to respond correctly. So when people see the peace, that we are at peace, it is a powerful perspective. The power of peace is amazing when we have peace, when the world is going to hell in a handbasket, yet you relate with a genuine peace of the Lord Jesus. It is attractive. People say, how come you're not living in fear? Or how come you're not all in all these ways? Because it is so contrary to the world, as we read. Listen, peace in the midst of the storm is deafening. Deafening. And no matter what storm you're in your life, as people look and say, man, how can that person respond that way with peace in the midst of the storm? When others panic, ready to throw in, and you have peace. And you have an internal peace of God that says, God, this, I know you as my Lord and my Savior. I know that I'm redeemed, and I know that one day I'll be in heaven, but I want to live for you, and I want to glorify you. Peace on earth probably is not going to happen. Not yet. Peace in you, that's the promise passage I can make them true. You have that peace today? I go back to the question I started with. Through Christ alone. If you're basing it on anything else this morning, if you're basing it on anything else, you are wrong. That's not Bill. But God's word is love. You want peace with God? You want to experience the peace of God? It's through Christ. Father, this morning as we come, I realize this message may not be the Christmas postcard or the Christmas card version of peace, but it is the truth. And today may we understand that the peace that you want to give us is that peace, not as the world gives, but the peace that only you can give. God, there's someone here today that has focused on some other way to get to heaven, thinking that they're going to make it for some other way. I pray that you would just give them no peace right now until they trust in you. Father, I pray today that those who really don't see the need for it, that God, you would lovingly call them, draw them to yourself. Thank you for this time this morning. May we go in peace, not of the world, but in the peace of knowing you. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Pastor.